Vision Street, a locally owned neighborhood joint offering pizza, pinball, and cold beer since the spring of 2014.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. At least that's the way the story goes.
Tune in to KABU Monday, February 16th at 7 p.m. for another broadcast from the Steam Radio Syndicate, performing live from a tugboat in the Willamette River. Their focus this time is the Ballad of Frankie and Johnny.
He was her man, but he done her wrong.
Again, that's the Steam Radio Syndicate, Monday, February 16th at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This story has no morrow. This story has no end. This story just goes to show that there ain't no good in men. He was a man, and he done a wrong.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Hey there, listeners. You might notice that the host for Out Loud has a new voice this week. It's because it's Boston hosting. That's me. I'm usually in the control room, plugging in cords and pushing switches, but now I've got my very own guest, Michael Horwitz.
Bonjour, Portland.
Michael Horwitz is a one-of-a-kind man. He really pushes the limits in all fields, including metaphysics, fashion.
Quantum physics.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The cat is in the box. His name's Schrodinger.
This show, we're going to be working on getting that cat out of the box and really digging deep into Michael Horwitz's personal life, his work, and his future. So let's kick it off, Michael. What are you about, man?
I'm about the pursuit of pleasure at the moment, especially looking at your crocheted hat. It's, you can't see it, people, but Boston has a freshly crocheted blue, Smurf blue beanie, and it's pretty golden.
Well, thank you.
So, but right now I'm really fortunate to be able to draw and deliver my drawing to people, you know, via the web, using Tumblr and Instagram and Facebook, but also doing portraits around town. I'm sure some of the listeners have probably seen me at some bars with a drink and my poster and a clamp light saying that I'll draw you for free. I've been really lucky. I've drawn over 1,200 people in Portland now.
Dang.
And that's been a really rad experience. I've done it in nightclubs, dance parties, weddings, political rallies. And it's something that came out of grad school, just not having money to take a life drawing class over the summer, but also really wanting to get to explore Portland. I had just moved here from New York, and I'd spent the first year in school pretty much by myself in my studio, and I, as summer was coming, I was like, I really need to go out and actually figure out what this place is about, but I'm not gonna pay for a life drawing class because those would be pretty expensive. But you know, portraits is something really close to me, but I've also been fortunate enough to kind of explore other areas as well. I've been doing some comics and some printed zines and also doing installation stuff. I had a couple of shows over the past few months. One of them was an installation of little ballerinas that were drawn, and that was at PDX Contemporary Gallery Art. And then I was in a show there in December called You Don't Know Me, which was a group portrait show. And it was rad because I was the only person that had traditional drawn portraits, but the other artists were doing completely like using new technology to kind of challenge what a portrait is. Mm-hmm. For example, one of them had like a video still, or it looked like a still, but it was actually like a 5-minute loop of a person standing, and you didn't really realize at first that it wasn't a still. But anyways, yeah, right now I'm about, you know, just making art happen and trying to connect with other people who are also creatively minded.
Mm. Very nice. I hate to pull this question out of the bag, but what inspires you, Michael?
Oh my gosh. So much does, actually. You know, everything from TV. I'm a huge pop culture fan. Mm-hmm. I love Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race. So I've been lucky enough to like get to draw some of the queens, but I'm also super inspired by like the things that made me happy as a kid. That's usually where I find like most of like my style choices come from, is like mm-hmm. things that I watched and soaked in, like comic books, Sailor Moon, Power Rangers, Lisa Frank. Like if I look at a Lisa Frank binder from 92, I'm basically looking at something that I'm drawing right now.
Yes.
And I find that like inspiration, it usually is something you don't really chase it. You just have to like listen to the things that make you happy.
Oh, totally.
And a lot of other artists that I've talked to have kind of been of a similar mind.
Yeah. I feel like in that respect, like inspiration is something you just have to realize instead of search out, you know?
Totally.
And I feel like a lot of your art really kind of highlights the, it would be kind of ballsy to say like self-knowing, but I mean like it highlights a really personal, you know, key for me.
Totally. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people have different reasons for making art. Some people want to make kind of sweeping social statements or highlight causes that need exposure. Some people want to create interruptions in our daily life, and those are all legitimate reasons. Mm-hmm. My reason is purely to talk about how I see the world, the things that I find funny, mm-hmm. the things that I find charming and romantic and silly, and to give other people a moment to like chill out and not take themselves so seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
So totally. I intentionally try to make my work very approachable and user friendly.
It definitely is. And I find that like when I see a Michael Horowitz piece, it's got a really, really welcoming quality to it. And it's definitely your work doesn't close anybody off, you know. Or, you know.
Well, it's funny. That's something that, like, that for me was the challenge of grad school, because mm-hmm. I made work, as a lot of people do, trying to, like, describe the differences that they feel between themselves and other people. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, like, I was really holding on to those differences and making it so that other people, like, someone said it was barnacled with affectation, which I think is perfect. Like it was armor, you know, like you won't see me and I'm not going to let you get close to me. And after a while that just sort of like sheds itself off and you start to say the things that and show the things that are, yes, kind of make you vulnerable, but also make you feel freer. And they can be things as silly as I really like different slices of cheese on different slices of bread.
Oh, yeah.
That's happiness. Yeah, like,
exactly.
It doesn't have to be huge or profound. It can be, like, really, like, I like to take walks.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I feel like that simplistic quality is really shown. What makes you happy?
Right now, I am on a major Charmed kick. But yes. Actually, the things that make me happy... One, I really love seeing my stuff in other people's hands and on their refrigerators. Yes. You know, when I visit friends' apartments and I see portraits of mine like on their fridge or in their bathroom, that makes me really happy. Seeing my other like friends and contemporaries succeed makes me really happy. Yeah, I feel like if you can't be happy for other people's success, then you're going to have a really hard time, seeing other people, you know, that didn't draw before, didn't think of themselves as creative types, start to make work. That makes me really happy too, regardless of how like late they are in life.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, we'll be back after a little thing from our pitchers.
In like 20 seconds, if you'd like to take this one off, I can
Larry.
Hi, and I'm Eric Tagetoff.
And we're here to talk about KBOO's pledge drive.
Yes, yes.
KBOO has quite a lot, has about a staff of 8 people, but it's mainly run by volunteers. And so we encourage you to make a donation or to volunteer here. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, if you'd like to make a donation for the pledge drive.
Yeah, maybe I could talk about my experience here a little bit. I'm a volunteer here. I'm a reporter.
Yeah.
I work with the news department, and I think it's fantastic. I think they do a service that no one else on the radio is doing. I think it's really hits a lot of wonderful things in the area that are not being covered a lot on other stations. Nowhere else on the radio does it happen, I don't think.
Yeah, that's why I always say KBOO is a tremendous public service to the people of Portland, and not every city has something like this. So I encourage you all out there to support KBOO by giving us a call, 877-500-5266, or you can go to our website at kboo.fm, and there's a tip jar, and you click there, and you can make a donation there also if you would like. Either way, some people actually come in and make a donation. That's fine, too, and we're glad for that if you're in the neighborhood. Or just give us a call. That's probably the easiest thing. 877-500-5266.
Yeah, we could also do monthly deductions on credit and debit cards. And we really have... I want to talk about some of the music shows, too. I think we have some great shows. We have some great jazz shows that happen here. A lot of world music that happens here that you don't hear in a lot of places. And I always am tuning in and just finding something that I've never heard before, and I really think it's invaluable in that way.
Exactly. I feel that way, too, and I really enjoy the political talk shows, too. I mean, KBOO does a lot of cool stuff. And so this is your chance. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, if you want to help to support KBOO, because one of our goals here is we have stuff on the air that nobody else does, music and talk shows of a sort that you will not find anywhere else.
Yeah, great mix of stuff.
And it's a tremendous mix of stuff, a tremendous service to many different parts of the local community. So give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Okay.
Okay,
sorry.
Good. Yeah. Hello. I'm back here with Michael Horwitz, extraordinaire. Michael, I have another question for you.
Sure thing.
Why is it important for you or for just queer artists in general to make art and make craft and do practice?
That's a super rad question. Growing up, we're trained to make things competitively. That's how schools are structured. That's how our society is really structured, to focus on growth in a competitive way. And art is very much similar. You're taught, like, draw this body accurately. Mm-hmm. build something that lasts. And I think for queer people, the practice of making things and making things outside of a competitive nature is the first time that they really get a chance to describe themselves and their ambitions outside of being part of a competitive society and being part of like a society with a lot of really rigid rules and behaviors. For me, that was super true. Like, I grew up mostly copying pictures out of my mom's fashion catalogs. Mm-hmm. And so I would have like these binders filled with loose leaf sheets of paper of just drawings of girls posing. And there was something, even though I got made fun of it in school, I knew there was something really honest and that I had to like put up with whatever feedback I got, be it from teachers asking like, why are you copying this? Mm-hmm. Even though that was the exercise that they're usually giving students, copy this painting.
Yeah, yeah.
Just there was something that attracted me to drawing certain kinds of pictures. And over time, I start to understand why. And it's taken me years. Like, you know, I'm now doing a little bit of drag performance, and you can totally trace that all the way back to like being 8 years old and copying pictures out of Mary Claire.
So. Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, and that the queer perspective or something like that is often barely or not represented at all in craft or art.
Well, it's funny, you know, you say the queer perspective, and that's something that I think we want to have like representation. We absolutely do, yeah, but it's individually made. It's not like a movement,
which is definitely
important to keep in mind, you know, and it's going to happen with time. Like, we have different styles and genres of making work, and those things took years to define. I think right now, because we're in a time where we really love labels, we want to define ourselves both as people, as makers, as thinkers, before we've really had the chance to like live our lives.
Yes.
Especially as young people, I think there's like, if I name myself this or if I give myself this title, I'll be respected or understood. And people may temporarily understand you, but as your concerns change, you'll find that you'll need more words, that the words that you have don't work, which is aren't sufficient, which is why making is great, because you don't necessarily need words with your objects. You know, there's room for ambiguity, there's room for queerness. So
yeah, totally. And I think the phrase the queer perspective is like very misleading. Like there are leagues upon leagues of perspectives that could contradict or not. And so,
And I didn't mean to jump on you. It's one of those interesting things. Like, it's a case where like words work for now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and definitely like craft practice, explore that in a great way.
Well, what's amazing about craft, I think, is especially its holistic quality, the parts of it that are super meditative and super about like not even thinking about yourself or your past, but almost just not thinking, period. And like feeling certain parts of yourself just sort of like dissipate. I love when I'm doing a project and I know there's going to be like, say it's a drawing and there's like, oh man, this is going to be like 2 or 3 hours of straight drawing, like needlework, doing patterns. Part of me is like, I should put on a movie. And part of me is like, yo, just check out.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, totally.
That's a non-amount top or as close as I get to it.
Yeah. And that's definitely a like a mentality or a place where it's just golden. It's just special to be in. And like it's one of the most valuable places to mark down or show or reveal.
Yeah, it's a totally queer moment of I don't know how to describe it or what it's doing for me, but you feel better because of that. Yeah,
totally. And that's like, that's definitely a total gift. Any final thoughts before we go to our next bit of pitching?
People, if you have an inkling that something makes you happy, be it doodling, crossword, just roll with it. Don't stress.
Sweet. Yes, I definitely agree. All right.
I'm back. My name's Larry.
My name is Eric.
And we're here for the KBOO Pledge Drive. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Where else do you get programming like this on the air in Portland? The answer is pretty much nowhere else. And as we were saying during the last pledge break, there are many reasons why we support KBOO. I support as a volunteer because I really care about KBOO. KBOO's basically run by volunteers, and we all care about KBOO. KBOO does such a great job. And one thing you can think of also is, like, when KBOO spends money, think about it spread out among all those volunteers. What I'm saying is your donation dollar gets stretched really, really far. You know, like $100,000 isn't enough to pay the salary of some CEO at a commercial network. But here, a small amount of money will keep us running for, you know, days and days. So consider making a donation, 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and like you're saying, we make every dollar work here, and I think we do a fantastic job. If you also want to donate, you can go to kboo.fm. And also, there's plenty of ways to donate. You can donate with cash. We can now do monthly deductions from your credit and debit cards. You know, you could start off at maybe, say, $10 a month. You know, it seems like a small amount, but it helps the station so much.
A lot of people do that, and it helps a lot. You know, these small amounts help a lot. And like I was saying, you know, we really put those dollars to work. It's not just going to some fat cat's salary. It's like it's going to run a whole station on a very small budget. So, you know, small amounts help a lot. So, you know, we are grateful for anything you can give. You know, a lot of us volunteer and or donate money. So consider giving us a call, 877-500-5266. Yeah, I moved to Portland about 10 years ago, and right away I discovered KBOO, and I knew that I really, really liked it. And I occasionally donated money to KBOO. And about a year and a half ago, I started doing volunteer work here because I like doing volunteer work, and I believe in KBOO's mission very much. And so I'm here, I'm often here every week or so doing volunteer work, and we all care about it very much. We think KBOO has a great mission of speaking for people who are ignored by the rest of the media. Give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and like you were saying, I moved here about 3.5 years ago and just immediately gravitated towards KBOO. I thought they were doing a wonderful job. They have such an array of voices on the radio. They have Out Loud, like we're hearing right now, and Prison Pipeline, and they're all stuff that, and I'm actually from Florida, and you don't hear that kind of stuff on the radio. You don't hear it anywhere, and it's so fantastic to have it all in one place. That's the amazing thing, is that we can sit here and, during the day, and listen to just so many different voices. It's fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's all here. KBOO tries to do that as far as our political programs, our talk shows, our music shows, all of it. Like I was saying last time, it's all stuff that you won't hear anyplace else. That's part of our mission here. Is if somebody else were doing, say, like, I don't know, classical music, we would maybe do a different sort of music because we want to do something that isn't being done anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot you can learn here, and the music scene here is really great. And
you should see the library. The library is just enormous. Yeah. It's wonderful to go in there and just search through some stuff that you've never heard of, take it off the rack and go, wow, I can't believe KBOO has this. This is wonderful. And you'll hear it.
Yeah, we have a music library of thousands and thousands of CDs here. But a lot of the DJs here, actually, they bring in their own music that they discover, you know, because they love music so much. Mm-hmm. It's not at all what you get from commercial stations. So give us a call, 877 500 5266. Or again, go to our website at kboo.fm and click on the tip jar there. Either way, or some people come in to the station here at KBOO if you would like, and we would welcome you here occasionally. If you're in the neighborhood, that's a good idea. You can get a tour of the station even.
Yeah, you can donate right away. You could, like we were saying, you could do $10 a month. You could do $100 all at once. Just any way that you can help us is just goes so far to help this station, really improve it. And we're doing this as a service to you. We love the listeners, and we want to make sure that they have the best experience with us here at KBOO. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. I think so, too. And so the phone number, again, is 877-500-5266. Website, kboo.fm. So consider making a donation if you are able to. 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. We make it easy for you. Just give us a call or go to the website. 877-500-5266.
Hello, welcome back to Out Loud. I'm still here with Michael Horwitz, artist. Let's talk cartoons, Michael.
Indeed. I feel like most people figure out they're a fraction queer as a kid when they realize that they still want to live in like Gemland or...
Yes.
It's not a cartoon, but VR Troopers. I always thought that whole getup was really nice because it's kind of a cartoon when they enter into their VR world. But
explain VR Troopers to me.
Troopers was a Power Rangers knockoff with like way lamer costumes. But this is right around the time that like 3D and virtual reality was starting to like hit the populace, and people didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know how to handle it so much that it was canceled after like 1.5 seasons.
Oh,
so
that's not fair.
But wow, other favorite cartoons of mine, you know, I love Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that there's been many adaptations of that literary property. But probably my favorite all-time cartoon is the X-Men series from the early 90s.
Oh, really?
By far the perfect cast of voice actors. Like, everyone is 2AT.
Yes. Yes. I haven't seen that. That sounds great, though.
They used to have a giveaway at Burger King.
Okay.
No, Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut. So you would go and you'd buy a piece of pizza with a kids menu, and they give you a videotape of X-Men. But like, I love it because the first episode had this part where all of the girls in the X-Men, Storm and Jean Grey and Rogue, are shopping at the mall and just like trying on different outfits when Sentinels attack, and they just like drop their fashions on the floor and just like start
go
slamming,
kick butt.
Yeah. Also, like, Sailor Moon's a biggie.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, Sailor Moon is kind of a safe word with people.
Yeah. Very true. No, Sailor Moon is one of the most far-reaching
It's
cartoons.
Cuckoo. I was TAing a class on gender and comics at PNCA, and we were deciding the syllabus on the first day of class, which is a really rad way to make one a class, to have
cool
students kind of pitch in. And we were discussing, like, what are we going to read? And I threw out Sailor Moon because I feel like there's a lot of stuff about gender in there that people could talk about for hours. And it was sort of like a silent hush. And then everyone else was just like, we want Sailor Moon. It is decided. So
that's so great. Oh my gosh.
And I love it also because there's Sailor Venus and she's got this love chain and it's just like a whip made of tiny hearts. And like, no perfect or more perfect metaphor for
Oh man, yeah. Okay, I'm trying to think of like very inspirational cartoons of mine. Akira.
For sure.
Oh man.
The 80s embodied. Yes.
Oh, Akira, those cityscapes.
That's one of those really amazing experiences because it's taken from this super long comic series.
Yeah.
And the comic series honestly, like, stops making any sense. like 20 pages into it. And the movie decides to go like completely left where the comic goes right. Okay. The movie also doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah.
Neither one of them makes sense, and yet they're bliss.
Beautiful.
So like that made me think a lot about what I want from, call it art or entertainment. I really don't need it to make any sense.
Yeah, but that impact.
I just want to feel it. I want it to like give me enough of a world that I want to sit in and like soak up. And it's a combination of like both the animation, the design, the music. Ghost in the Shell is very much the same for me. Like, I don't know what that movie's about. It's like this half-naked woman running around with machine guns disappearing.
But it's chill.
But it's like, it's a vision of what we expect the future to be like that's terrible, a lot like Final Fantasy, but for some reason, even though it's like really dystopic and dark, there's something really like fashionable and kind of like beautiful.
Totally.
And that it's totally like kind of going back to Blade Runner, which isn't a cartoon, but that style, that cyberpunk, which is super queer.
Yeah.
And that shows up a lot in like the fashion of people that I see at like parties and nightclubs.
Yes.
You know, it's futuristic, but it's still super mid-80s.
Yeah, totally.
It's always been like an area of fascination for me, I guess, just because that's when I was like born and growing up.
Yeah. I hate being so young because I wish I could have.
Boston's
felt
a baby,
the, felt
people.
The impact
Boston
of that.
Is a baby.
I'm not a baby.
Don't let that voice fool you.
I'm grown up. I'm actually 45, Michael. but that was one of the definitely largest impact points with Akira for me. Was just it was so self-contained, but it also reaches so far into life. Like
another super big cartoon for me was Ranma One Half, because that was. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
So it's an anime, but the main conceit of the story is that like there's this super macho guy who goes training with his dad in a karate, like they're karate artists, and he gets cursed. So he actually turns into a girl, and it's the first series I've ever seen where the guy becomes inhabits a female role, and it's never like shameful or like criticized. It's just kind of accepted. Like there's totally comedy that happens because of it. Mm-hmm. Like somebody who hates Ranma as a boy falls in love with him as a girl.
Yeah.
Which is very Shakespeare, but it's super freeing and kind of liberal. Also, like people turn into pandas and cats and ducks. And I feel like that's what I want from my future, you know. Screw cyberpunk. I want to turn into a duck. So
no, that sounds great, yeah. I'll have to check that out. This is not a comic, but do you like any Osamu Tezuka or anything?
Yes, Tezuka's amazing.
Phoenix.
If you can't afford to take a class on comics at a continuing education, like you can learn everything you need to know about storytelling from reading Tezuka.
Oh, yes.
And he has such a varied career. Like he wasn't just Astro Boy. He was doing romance comics for girls. He was doing like high kind of sci-fi. He was doing history books.
Buddha. My gosh.
He did Adolf.
I didn't know that.
He did this really crazy comic called MW about a guy and his gay lover, and the gay lover decides that he's gonna like bomb Japan with like a nuclear weapon. It's totally like a telenovela with like this random like drag queen serial killer.
Oh my god.
And it's great. And then there's Blackjack, which is this like doctor kind of crime solver character. So it's very like we were just talking about, you know, whodunits and procedurals earlier. And this is like way before those like popped up, but it's also super graphic, and like his drawings go from being very elastic and cartoony to being like
to the point.
Exactly.
You know, and serene.
I forget how many comic pages they've said he's drawn. It's like well into the couple hundred thousands, if not more.
Oh my goodness. Jesus.
And he worked over 60 years.
Wow.
He's like people are like, so he's like the American or the Japanese Walt Disney. He's like, no, no, Walt Disney is the American Osamu Tezuka.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That comparison is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what made me think of Tezuka was I just kind of tapped into the middle of Phoenix.
Yeah.
I don't have the first one. I think I'm on like the seventh one. But there's this warrior who, like, I had never seen, or, like, I don't know, like, Tezuka, like, looked into gender for me, which was a really powerful connection. Like,
for
that
sure.
was amazing.
Well, one of Tezuka's comics is called Princess Knight, and the idea of it is similar to Ranma One Half, and probably Ranma is kind of based off of this. A girl is turned into a boy to protect herself from being killed because she's a princess. And she, throughout the story, finds a way to kind of flip-flop back and forth. And she's sort of an early female action protagonist. And gender is something that I think Japanese culture has been discussing for a lot longer than we have.
Yeah.
And in a lot less biased ways. I mean, there's a lot for sure that's, you know, very similar to our way of thinking, but there's like kind of an openness to
it. Yeah, yeah. And that's what I noticed, like, when I dove into that book, was it was free.
And I think that's why a lot of like young queer people really latch on to Japanese culture and anime and manga,
because
there's like this non-pressure zone of like feelings and sensitivity, and sometimes like, okay, there's a Pokemon too, but it's like
it's
the one place where they kind of feel like this breath of fresh air outside of like, who are you? Define yourself, tell me who you are and what you are. And it's like, just, this is how I feel, which is something that I think Japanese comics have always, like manga especially, like in the, you see, my favorite one's called Nana. It's just these two girls, like one's in a rock band and the other one's like a groupie, and it's seriously 22 volumes of them like not even doing anything, just having feelings. So
sounds great.
It is awesome. Amazing.
Oh my god.
And
Nana?
Occasionally there's like snowflakes that fall, and it's just like them looking at the sky as snowflakes. And you know, Scott Pilgrim's kind of like that too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's totally like just that wistful romantic moment.
Yeah.
So
more cartoons.
Well, another favorite of mine is Animaniacs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Biggie on those like WB shows. I love Tiny Toons was a major changing thing for me, because it was like my first idea of like, well, it's the Looney Tunes but younger. Like,
wait,
it's their kids.
That was terrifying.
I love
me when it came out.
Well, there's this the movie. There's the Tiny Toons movie, and where they're chased by a serial killer, which is my first introduction to a serial killer. I was like seven. I was like, what is this? And my mom's like, all right, Mike, okay, listen, there are people, they just go around killing people a lot. That's a serial killer. And it was just like,
you just wanted to watch Looney Tunes.
Yeah, it was just like little Michael Horowitz crack down the middle.
Yeah.
But that's the first time that I realized that I like kind of like smaller versions of things, or like knockoffs, or like baby X-Men, or like, I just love like baby versions of other things.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my gosh. There's something to be said humor wise about making things into babies. It gets me every time.
It
destroys me.
I spend way too much time on the internet looking for like, especially reference for pictures of like, okay, that's a really cute leopard. That's a cute like teen leopard. But what's the babiest leopard you got? And I have just like folders full of like cute animal pictures. And that's sometimes how I make some of my drawings. I'm like, this is not cute enough. I'm bored. This needs a baby cheetah.
Well, that's the thing about Lisa Frank, though.
Oh my God.
Is it like takes everything you like and then it makes it a little better.
It's like, you know what goes really great with that ice cream cone? A leopard holding it, and then a baby seal sitting on top of it, and then a Milky Way in the background, and then a rainbow.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's, yeah. Then it just looks like it's about to melt in your hand.
Apparently she's kind of a fascist in real life.
What?
Yeah, there was an expose on the Lisa Frank Empire, and she's supposed to not be good peeps.
Oh my God. Well, on that cliffhanger.
Sorry, folks.
Oh man, that was a heavy bomb. All right, well, we're gonna get,
we'll
gonna
be back.
Get a pitching, but Jesus, think about this. Lisa Frank.
Lisa Frank fascist.
Okay. All right.
You're listening to KBOO's Community Radio Winter Membership Drive. And now is the time to call us at 877-500-5266 to support KBOO. That's 877-500-5266 or our website, kboo.fm. My name's Larry, and I'm a volunteer here at KBOO, and I'm joined by Adam, another volunteer, and we are happy to be on this show to share with you the importance of supporting great programming like this and the many other programs that KBOO has also.
Adam. Yeah. Happy to join you here, Larry. We are, as he said, currently in our membership drive, and we have a few ways you can donate. You can always donate month by month. You can do monthly deductions from your credit and debit cards. You can do monthly deductions from your bank account, maybe say $10 a month. Maybe $100 a year. It's even those small amounts make us a better station and make sure that we can grow and have better facilities and make sure that we can do better things for you in the community.
Especially since a lot of people out there are doing kind of the same thing. People of modest means or don't want to donate too much. They donate a small amount, $10 a month perhaps. And, you know, that if a lot of people do that, that helps a lot. Especially, like I said earlier in the program, you know, KBOO really stretches that dollar because we use so many volunteers to get everything done here. So your dollar has a tremendous effect on this station, much more than on a community or a commercial radio station. This is a community radio station that really represents the community. We have programs for all kinds of communities. We have an incredible music scene, and we have a lot of political programming and that you'll never get anywhere else. So give us a call. 877-500-5266 or go to our website, kboo.fm.
Yeah, again, that number is 877-500-5266. We are going to be up to this for the rest of the night. I hope you guys keep with us, and we're going to be bringing you some great programming still. Everything... it's kind of running the same as usual, but you get to hear our lovely voices every now and then.
Okay, so before we leave, let me repeat, 877-500-5266, or go to our website, kboo.fm, 877-500-5266. Give us a call. We'll be glad to hear from you.
And we are back once again.
Bellissimo.
Michael, I'm really interested to hear what you have going on.
Oh my gosh, it's kind of a poo-poo platter of a lot of small different things. So I'm really, really stoked. I can't say 100% what's happening with this, but I'm going to be doing a project with the Portland Art Museum this spring. It will be public engagement. I did... talking about museums in public with them last June, where I drew portraits of staff members. But this one is going to be something a little more intense than that. And I am super excited because it's going to mean I'm spending a lot of time in the museum engaging with visitors and I think helping to make a series of works about what people think about museums and how museums exist in their lives. And I'm also going to be doing Lineworks PDX, which is a comic festival coming up in April, I believe, and I'll be having a table there. I've got the Wookiee Woof book, which is a gay Star Wars Tijuana Bible that I illustrated and wrote. You can get them at Floating World Comics. They carry them, but you can also pick them up at narcmagazine.com. I'm tonight going to be drawing at Willem Shafter Party, the after party for the RuPaul's Drag Race Battle of the Seasons. That's going to be at CC Slaughter's at 11 o'clock. I'll also be drawing at the Shafter Party. I'm going to be like dangling onto their tour bus with my bag. In Seattle tomorrow night at Neighbors. So I'm really stoked. A lot of those queens are super awesome and super inspiring. And I'm stoked to see the show tonight.
Definitely.
And then I'm also working on a project for the Museum of Contemporary Craft where I'm making a series of drawings about objects that are in their permanent collection. I've worked at the museum for about a year and a half now, and it's been a really rad, supportive place for me. That's kind of one of the spots where I started drawing portraits publicly. And they, you know, we were talking about craft earlier and what craft means to queer people, and it's a really rad institution. It's a very old institution. It's been in Portland since the 30s, it's gone through a lot of changes over the last year or so, but actually, really fast just to plug, they've got a show up right now called Extra Credit, where students from PNCA curated pieces from the permanent collection of the museum, but around ideas that are very pertinent to their personal everyday lives. So please go check that out. I was able to kind of talk with some of the students about, you know, why I'm making the piece that I'm making right now. And it's great to like kind of talk to students and have them ask you questions, because once you're out of school, you really have no one asking you, why are you doing this? The crit is not there. That support system is gone. And I think it's really important to still have that process of like questioning and interrogating what you're doing. Let's see what else. As of yesterday, I'm working on a comic book with another artist about China, the female wrestler from the mid-90s. China is one of those inspirational figures to me. I used to try to China chop people, and that's not socially acceptable, actually. but anyways, the comic is going to be like us just talking about why China is not to be forgotten. She is the ninth wonder of the world, as her tagline goes.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of random stuff. I'm doing flyers. I'll be drawing at Blow Pony in March for their 8th year anniversary. I can't say who the special performers will be, but keep your eyes peeled for that. Blow Pony is another really rad party that has been super important to me personally. They were one of the first places to, nightclub wise, to like give me a space to do my portrait thing, and I'm super grateful. And you know, it's an only in Portland kind of experience of queer people getting together and just going, you have to be 21 and up to experience this, kids, but you should be 21 and up soon as soon as possible. Let's see what else. I know, the Boy Funk Paper Dolls.
Yes.
So
yes.
We met, I think, not through Boy Funk. Boy Funk's a Portland-based performer, and I've made a series of paper dolls, over 150 outfits and accessories, everything from, you know, a dress made of a volcano to shoes made of cupcakes to cloud couture to a multi-piece showgirls look. Like the movie Showgirls. Also, peep hats. You know, it's just, he is a constant source of inspiration. And this took about 6 months to do, but it's something that I'm super happy about. And I'll be putting those on my website. They'll also be available in time for that comic show, Lineworks. Producing them has taken a little bit longer just because neither of us are designers. Yeah. So. But I'm also really stoked. I've done the cover art for a CD by one of the gals on RuPaul's Drag Race. I can't say who just yet, but that will be out on iTunes hopefully by the end of this month.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's super really weird rare. to tease, but I'm really happy. She's one of my favorites. She's one of the funny ones. So that's the only hint I can give. And hopefully drawing some more Lisa Frankenstein-inspired stuff just yes. for my own,
yeah.
my own well-being and happiness.
Sounds like you have a lot on your plate.
It's good. It gets me out of the house. That's kind of like my biggest thing. I make art so that I'm not just in my apartment depressed watching Charmed.
And with that, we go to pitching.
Hey, this is Larry, and I'm here with Adam, and we're here as part of the pledge drive, and give us a call, 877-500-5266. If you would like to donate to KBOO and help keep the lights on and keep this place going, or go to our website, kboo.fm. So Adam, like what got you interested in volunteering at KBOO, and what sort of volunteer work have you been doing?
Well, here at this station, I get volunteer in the newsroom. I get to do some reporting. I get to do some interviews. I've actually interviewed... I interviewed the Green Party candidate for governor, which was fantastic. I get all these great opportunities to kind of get to the bottom of Portland politics in a way that's not done on any other station.
Yeah. So people listening out there, we're asking for donations, but also if you're interested in volunteering at KBOO, there are always a lot of interesting things you can do here, especially if you're interested in radio. So consider that too, if you can. But give us a call, 877-500-5266. So Adam, how long have you been volunteering here?
I've been volunteering here for... probably I think about 9 months. This last summer is when I started uh-huh. volunteering here, and I think the interesting thing is, like, you hear the KBOO evening news, it's an hour long, but for the hours leading up to it, you know, the newsroom is just like a hive of activity. You're just,
yeah, I can imagine
tons of things going on, what's happening, and that's kind of where the donations go, or places like that, to make sure that, you know, we can give you the best insight into the news, local, national, international, whatever we can do, whatever is going on that we find pertinent that maybe is not getting as much coverage, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it goes back to that idea that KBOO's always doing stuff that the other media choose to ignore, mm-hmm. or purposely don't want to ignore, or purposely want to ignore, or right. you know, things that might be threatening to the 1%, or, you know, KBOO does a lot of really great work, with its news programs, talk programs, and also I think the music programs are great too. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Have you ever read the news, Adam?
I have. Yeah, I've anchored once or twice. I've just filled in. And that's always a great experience, too. And you were saying some other media, they're just a little bit afraid to touch certain subjects. It's always as if they're afraid of making certain connections because it might harm them in a way. And here, we're about the community. We're making sure that we are getting what they need to hear.
Right. We're getting real information out there, and I believe we're getting the facts. And you don't always get that from other places that prefer to other media sources that prefer to give you fluff or other things like that. So yeah, give us a call, 877-500-5266, and our website is kboo.fm. And remember, you can make one lump sum donation, or you can do it monthly from your bank account, and either way that you like.
And I have a thank you. I want to thank Ronnie in McMenville, for helping us meet the goal here today.
All right, that's terrific.
Yeah, thank you, Ronnie.
Thanks, Ronnie.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and so, give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm. And so what else have you done at KBOO? Anything else?
I'm mostly in the newsroom, and that's where I like to be, but I do love the music, too. I can see the schedule right here. Africa Oye is fantastic, I think. I love hearing some of these funky Nigerian jams that they have. Oh man, they're the best.
Yeah, the music is so cool here. You just turn on any program and it's something new and interesting. And I know I've done like the front desk here, and that can be kind of interesting. And then I've also done like voice acting for a radio drama that we have here once a month, and that's a lot of fun too. So if you want to support KBOO the way because you care about KBOO the way Adam and I do, give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go to our website, kboo.fm.
There's plenty of ways to donate. You can donate with a monthly deduction from your credit or debit card. You can donate all at once. You can donate $10 a month, $100 a month. Any of those things go a long way here at the radio station.
Yeah. So consider making a donation, 877-500-5266.
You can also go to kboo.fm. It's really easy. Just click on the banner, and
good.
It's easy to donate.
And we're back. Michael, I have a question.
Yes, Boston?
What do you like to draw with?
Oh, man. Well, I wish I could still get these, but those Senden markers were really rad.
Mr. Sketch?
Yes.
Oh, I have leagues of those. You can still get those.
Well, I would try to eat them, probably. I use a lot of, it depends. I'm a Prismacolor kid, so I use tons of those markers. Copics are really nice. They're super expensive.
So expensive.
So I save up for the color that I know I really most def need. Usually they're some of their more bright pinks and greens. Those are harder colors to get in Prismacolors.
Yeah.
But I also love the Caran d'Ache watercolor pencils. That's what I use mostly to draw, because Prismacolor pencils break real easy. True. If you drop them on the ground, the lead inside just cracks, so it'll just keep breaking. But most other watercolor pencils will hold. You can throw them at a wall or play bullseye. But I love gouache. I love acrylic gouache. It's somewhere between a watercolor and an acrylic paint. It's super thin, dries really fast. I'm a terrible painter, and I use it as little as I possibly can. It's just one of those things that I understand and accept that I will never be a good painter. So,
what type of gouache do you usually use?
Well, it's called Acrylla.
Okay.
And it's there's another kind that and it's the more regular gouache that kind of reactivates, sort of watercolor kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
But this kind dries out and stays pretty flat, but it can be really Lisa Frank bright. I'm pretty sure that in the acrylic gouache factory, they're just color testing things by holding up the paints to Lisa Frank folders and being it's not bright enough. We need it more Frank and, magenta 3 or something. But paper-wise, I use pretty smooth Bristol paper. I love having no tooth, and I think that's because I drew a lot on copy paper as a kid.
Yeah.
In art school, they're the grain of the tooth of the paper. You can see really the depth of, your layering of charcoal on top of charcoal. And it's I just like this kind of cheap copy paper. But, there's something, it all depends on what you're trying to do. I used to work for Marvel Comics as an editor. And also, if you're trying to do outlines, then no tooth on the paper is your best bet. Watercolor paper, you can't really get a consistent line on. That's not what it's made for. So that was, I never really questioned materials or really thought too much about it until I started to be dissatisfied with, like, when I would try to, like, copy other people, like, why can't it be like that? And it's like, well, first off, it's the materials you're using. More importantly, like, you shouldn't just be straight up trying to be somebody else, but, like, it's the materials first off. And once you start to, like, figure that out, you develop affinities and, you know, materials you love. Like, I hate pastels. I hate anything that comes off on my fingers. I am a lazy boy. I do not like washing my hands a bunch. But some people, mostly painters, love getting really, like, physical with their materials and getting dirty. Totally. That's not me.
Do you ever branch out of drawing or using drawing materials?
Yeah, for sure. Like, that, the drag thing is totally that right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's that I love using, like, my body. Like, the thing about drawing is that it's super tense, and you're, like, hunched over a table. But, like, with drag, it was just crazy to, like, feel like, okay, I have to animate every other part of me. I have to be in control of, like, how my elbows move, and, like, I have to kind of lead people's imagination with, you know, just a pose. So it puts pressure on you in a way that when it's just really in your hand, you don't even, like, become conscious of. I'm not, like, a person to, like, branch out into other, like, visual art forms, though. I'm not interested, like, so much in sculpture. That's usually more of, like, an effort thing, too.
That
goes back to my laziness.
Well, thank you so much for being on Out Loud.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for letting me talk about cartoons and Lisa Frank and myself.
Yeah, totally.
The X-Men shopping at the mall.
So. Yeah. All right, well, I've been interviewing Michael Horwitz. You're listening to Out Loud, but not for long. We have Hard Knock Radio coming up next.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, also heard on the web at www.kbu.fm. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio coming up next.
And now, a blast from the past, a little tidbit from the KBOO archives.
My name is Peter Seeger, a wood chopper and sometime banjo picker. I urge you to listen to KBOO in Portland and support it with some dollars, because otherwise it's not going to be around.
All right, bring out danger!